after the hour of 7 o'clock. And, Dan, we have a very special guest coming up. And he's been with us before.
Well, Brad, he's in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair from the 16th Senatorial District. He's also running for Lieutenant Governor on the Republican Party side, State Senator Joe Markley. Senator, good morning and welcome to Brad and Dan.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen.
Good morning, good morning. You know, I want to ask you one question. How it's very unusual that somebody runs for Lieutenant Governor. I think it's a great thing, but it motivated you, didn't it?
Well, yes, and it's becoming common now, Brad. What's happened is these last couple of cycles, the Republicans have had a primary for Lieutenant Governor both in 2010 and 2014. I don't know what changed exactly. It's a long story, but basically, if you want the job, you got to go after it. You can't wait for the convention and hope that somebody picks you. And I think that I want the opportunity to go around the state and talk about the change we need to make in Connecticut. I want to help elect a new governor that's going to take us in a different direction, a radically different direction. And it seems like the most useful thing I can do is to pursue this Lieutenant Governor's spot.
Great answer.
Senator, what are you hearing as you travel around the state?
Help! I was just last night speaking to good people over in Farmington, and I told them about the governor's supposed budget address yesterday. For the joint session, of course, they jam the senators into the House chamber, and we sit there under the governor's nose. And it's always interesting, except yesterday when he managed to say, well, I already let the budget out, so we're not going to talk about that. And I thought, the budget, the economy, taxes, these things which are the central problem in Connecticut, not a word about any of that. It was all just pablum, just feel-good conversation about fairness and equity, which was aimed at his base to get applause lines out of the Democrats, and decision just to completely punt on the real problems of the state.
Well, your fellow Republican senator from Danbury, Senator McLaughlin, called it a waste of everybody's time.
Yes, indeed. It was a waste of time, and it was a little bit of, an alternate reality, like the Twilight Zone version of Connecticut, that given the state we are in here, that our governor would not choose to talk about what he was going to do to put us back on course. And I think really the problem is he doesn't know what to do. He's been doing what he believes in for 7 years, and it's only made the situation worse and worse.
Among the things he did talk about, though, was this early voter registration and also the ability to vote by mail. What do you say to that?
I say no, as I'm sure my friend Senator McLaughlin did, who's chairman of the committee that deals with those issues. You know, I think that we have almost every session there's been changes made in voting laws. And the registrars of voters, who are the people who have to maintain the integrity of the system at the local level, come to me, at least personally, whatever their official positions are, and say, please don't keep changing this. Let us absorb the changes that have already been made. I think we've gone a long, long ways to try to open up the process. And I'm much less concerned about opening up the process than I am about making sure that the voting process is fair and reliable, that people have confidence in the results that we get. And it's easy enough to vote if you want to do it. And I don't think that I don't think the problem in this state is that it's not easy enough to vote.
What do you think if somebody came up to you and said, Senator, what do you think is the toughest problem that we have to face? Do we have to say, okay, 4 years, I'm going to be here for 4 years, but I'm going to do some things in 4 years that are going to straighten out the state, but it might not get me reelected?
I think that the next governor has to go in with that attitude. In fact, I wouldn't mind to hear one of the candidates say, I'm not going to run for reelection. 4 years to do what I need to do in 4 years, I'm willing to spend all my political capital. Now, frankly, I think if somebody did the right thing for 4 years, even if it was unpopular to begin with, at the end of the 4 years, the people would realize that things had turned around and that they would be in a good position politically. But, Brad, the most difficult thing always in life is to behave responsibly. You know, if you were talking to somebody that had a drinking problem and all the problems that come with it, you'd say you've just got to face that central problem of behaving responsibly. And all the problems that we have in this state have come from spending too much money, just like so many individuals get into trouble that way. It's not this expenditure or that expenditure. It's the whole tendency to spend more than you take in. And that's what we've done in Connecticut for decades. Again, as I've said before on this show, The fork in the road, the moment we made the wrong decision was instituting the income tax. At that moment, we could have gotten this addiction to spending under control, and Instead we found a way to feed it.
That's right.
Okay,
cool.
Senator, hang in there. I know, Brad, we want to get an update on traffic. Just a brief rundown on sports, and then we'll be back with Senator Markley.
Okay, let me check the sports quickly here. The Bruins beat the Rangers 6-1 last night. The Islanders will face Buffalo tonight at 7, and the Devils will do the same thing with Calgary at 7 o'clock. In the NBA, the Nets lost to the Pistons, 115-106. The Knicks will face Toronto tonight at 7:30, and the Celtics will face Washington at 8 o'clock. And Paul Brown agreed in 1945. A little history here in sports, and of course it was the football expansion team in Cleveland, and they were the Cleveland Browns. This was the day in 1945. Okay, that is our sports report. Quickly, let me just do these numbers here. The nightly 126, the play 4, 9309, cash 5, 1817, 2028. Powerball, Saturday's jackpot, $184 million. Classic Lotto, tomorrow's jackpot, $1.5 million. And Mega Millions, tomorrow's jackpot, $136 million. 18 minutes after 7. Let's see how the bumper-to-bumper crowd is doing out there. Brought to you by Bouvier Insurance. If you are looking for a good insurance company, I recommend that you go to Bouvier. And now let's go to Cindy Waitman. See how the bumper-to-bumper crowd's doing. Cindy, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Brad. Ice is your biggest problem out there, and it has been a slippery commute. The salt trucks are out and about. You're going to see some spinouts on your way. Right now, we are currently accident-free on 84. We had a spinout cleared on the upper deck of the Mixmaster at the merge from Route 8. And continuing your ride on 84 East, you're going slow from Park Road out to I-91. Westbound gets busy past the Bulkley Bridge. 2 West is slowing into the Founders Bridge. Southbound 91, tap of the brakes from Jennings Road into I-84. And Bradley International Airport with scattered delays and cancellations. You'll want to check with your airline before you go. Metro North is on or close to schedule. And 74 in Willington remains closed up at Moose Meadow Road both ways with a down pole and wires from an accident last night. This report is brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council. When danger is imminent, will you be prepared? Now, many mobile devices can bring you critical information from local sources you trust. Learn more at ready.gov/alerts. I'm Cindy Waitman, back at 7:34 with your next traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
Thank you, Cindy. And Brad, State Senator. Yeah, go ahead.
19 after 7 in the morning.
State Senator Joe Markley back in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. Now, Senator, although one of the websites actually had this story back in November, it was a lead story in the Republican American yesterday, and that is this surcharge, and that's really what it is, the additional $10 fee that we are now spending when we renew our motor vehicle registrations. I was under the impression all of it was going to go towards our parks and our campgrounds, maintaining parks, reopening campgrounds that had closed. Turns out not all of the money is going to parks and campgrounds. Some of it is going to be diverted into the general fund. What can you tell us about this?
Well, that's a case, I have to say, Dan, where all I know is what I read in the paper. When the budget was presented to us, and it so often happens, I often complained about it, we get these things kind of at the last minute. There's negotiation, and then they run out and say, here it is, we got to vote quick before the coalition falls apart. Under those circumstances, generally I vote no, because I feel that if I don't understand what's in it, I'm safer voting against it than for it. And I voted against this budget for a number of reasons, including the fact that it did, in fact, raise taxes. So I didn't support this proposal as part of the budget, but it didn't sound like necessarily a bad idea in the way that you described it initially, which is it's a fee on driver's licenses that would go to support state parks, so then we have free access to them. Fine. It wasn't until I spoke to the Republican American Reporter a couple of days ago that I realized that part of it was going to the general fund. I talked to the staff, and they said, yes, well, you know, this is the problem. Once the money is collected, you can say what you want about where it's supposed to go, but where it ends up going is under the control of the legislature, and it's also under the control of the governor by rescissions, and to some extent by the agencies, because even if they say it's going to deep for campgrounds, the department can shift the money around. So, again, in the end, going back to what I said before the break, responsibility is what matters. You have to have people who are going to do what they say they intended to do. And, again, I think that we've been disappointed on this one.
But why do they think, this is what just troubles me, why do they think that we don't have any brains in our head? I mean, we know what's going on. And the general public, believe it or not, they know what's going on. But how can they trust those that are elected when they do things like this?
They can't, and that's why we have to go in a different direction. And I don't say that the Democrats are all the devils and the Republicans are going to restore virtue necessarily. But I think that a new administration would at least have the chance to show that it was worthy of the public trust. And I do think that politicians, having gotten away with dubious behavior like this for many years and been reelected, become empowered in that sense. You know, they just get sloppier and sloppier and take more and more chances.
And what does it say about the...
It was discouraging to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Terrible, I think. I think it's awful.
Well, Senator, I mean, I've got to say, your fellow Republican Craig Minor was among those pushing for this $10 surcharge, and I followed this closely, and never once was it mentioned that some of this money would be diverted into the general fund. The public was sold on the basis that this would be a dedicated fund.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I've always said you've got to beware of these lock boxes and all these dedicated funds. And I still go around and people say, yeah, and the lottery money was supposed to go for education. That still sticks in people's craw after 30-plus years. I think that we're kidding ourselves with dedicated funds. I think that no matter what people say, in the end, if there's a shortage of money, the legislature is going to grab it and spend it to fill the gap. And I guess that's what's happening here. And I was very disappointed to learn about this myself.
Are we in worse shape than they try to make us believe? I think we are, but I don't know, you know, perfectly. Do we have that problem?
I think we're in terrible shape, yes. And there's, I don't like to say that, and I know that people are discouraged in Connecticut already, but we have to acknowledge the problem that we've got. The unfunded liability, that phrase that you keep hearing about all the money we owe on the pensions. Frankly and honestly, I don't believe we're ever going to be able to meet those obligations. We're in the situation of a homeowner who's upside down or a business that's losing money. And I think at a certain point we have to go to our creditors, who in this case are the state employees and the retirees, and say we simply can't meet this burden. We have to negotiate something, just like a business that's losing money has to find a way to reduce its expenses. And the other problem is we can't just keep raising revenue. That's got to be obvious to people. We raise taxes and we get less in than is projected, because every tax increase is destroying our economy, driving wealthy people out of the state and discouraging business. We can't keep going down that road.
Senator, what is your position on the tolls, the big push being made in the legislature for tolls in this session?
Well, let's start by saying what we were just talking about, which is the myth of dedicated funds. It's all premised on the idea that somehow, although all the other money has been mishandled, this toll money is going to be sacrosanct and it will go for the roads as intended. I don't believe it. It's just another way to raise money. It's another tax. It's opening up another vein to bleed us in a different way. And the other myth that has to be dispelled is that we can put tolls on and somehow make somebody else pay it. The DOT has made clear if they put the tolls on, they're going to be throughout the state, not just on the interstate highways, but even on 72 or 8 or 9 or 691, any limited access highway with these electronic readers as often as every 4 miles, so people can't hop out and avoid
them. Can you imagine every 4 miles?
And they're talking about 20 cents a mile. Now, I'm in Southington, as you know. For me, it's 19 miles to the Capitol. If I had to do that 5 days a week, year-round, I'd be paying over almost $2,000 in toll to go to Hartford.
We can't do this.
Well,
someone
asked me, Senator, if this passed, would the lawmakers get a break, or would there be an addition to the allowance that the lawmakers receive?
There may be an addition to the allowance, although the people would come up with pitchforks to the Capitol, I suspect, if they did that. It simply shouldn't happen, and people can't get into this idea of saying, well, if they do it this way, I'm for it. We've got to say, no, you're taking enough of our money now. You've got to find a way to spend it responsibly on the priorities and not keep reaching into our pockets. The income tax was the same thing. This is going to solve our problems.
That's
right. We just
need
this one more revenue source. And we got it, and we're in worse trouble than we ever were.
Let me ask you this on this whole toll situation. Do you believe we can beat this toll situation? I think
yes,
we can.
I honestly do. I guess I wouldn't be in this game if I didn't think we could win it, right? And I look at it and I say, in the Senate, 18-18, and I think we've got 18 Republican votes against the tolls. So if one Democrat stands with us, and we know that there's a few that have shown the nerve to stand with us.
Three.
Last year. If we can get one, and you know, the people who represent the southern part of the state where the tolls were on 95, those tolls are extremely unpopular down there because people had to pay them for years. They don't want to see them back. It would be a very tough vote for some of those legislators to support tolls. So I think there's a real chance, but people have to say absolutely no to tolls. We've got to send a clear message to Hartford that we don't want them, not if you do it this way or if you do it that way. We've got to say, no, you've got enough of our money. We don't have to open up another pocket for you to stick your hand into it.
What are your thoughts on this push to legalize marijuana for recreational purposes?
You know, again, what really bothers me, and it is shameful, is that a decision like that is also being pushed on the basis of revenue. Oh, let's legalize marijuana because it'll bring the state more money. If you want to talk about legalizing marijuana, which is a big decision, let's not talk about how the state can profit from it. Let's talk about whether it's a good thing for the people of Connecticut. And I don't see any way that it can be considered a good thing. You know, there are things in the world that are vices, and I don't say that nobody should ever do them or that you're ever going to get rid of them, but I don't think the state should do anything to encourage them or to give people the impression, and especially to give young people the impression, that these things are without consequence. And marijuana is another vice. It's going to be used. Plenty of people have tried it in the course of their lives. I was a college student in the 70s myself, but it's not something that we need to be giving a seal of approval to. And when I deal with the people that I know that deal with young people at the YMCA, in the school system, in the police department, youth services, they plead with me as a legislator not to support it. And that's good enough for me. The people that are dealing with our youth say no, then I say no.
Senator, we're out of time.
Great to have you with us.
Always a pleasure.
Great to have. Always feel better after you leave.
I always feel better after talking to you. Thanks so much.
All right, Senator, you take care.
7:30. We got the news coming up, friends. If you have anything to add, 1-888-574-2723, and we'll be right back.